Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome into Brewcast from Maize and Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I am Luke Giardi, joined by Scotty White here with you on Monday night, November 8th, as we head into Tuesday, November 9th. Should be a good show here tonight as we are live on the Maize and Brew YouTube channel. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us here. Make sure to join the discussion, leave your comments in the live chat. We'll be getting to questions and comments and everything of that nature, but we got a lot to get to here on this show, taking a look back on the Indiana win. All eyes ahead to Penn State in Happy Valley, which should be a monster matchup on Saturday and a tough place to get a win. Might even sprinkle a little basketball in here too, getting started here this week. Scotty White, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Pretty good. Excited to talk about the games. And yeah, I'm excited to talk about basketball too. Excited to see the banner raised up at Chrysler this week. But yeah, I mean, every game's a must-win game now. I think Michigan kind of, yeah, it's fortunate that they don't have to play under the lights in Happy Valley this week. But yeah, that's going to be a fun game. Excited to talk about it.
Yeah, fortunately for Michigan, man, Auburn came to town and used up the whiteout night game on it. I love it.
Yeah, got the helmet stripe game, not a whiteout. There's one stripe of blue that will make all the difference. So
I actually respect Penn State for that, right? It's like, they need it to be a whiteout game, but they already used it. And they're like, no, we got to keep the tradition. We got to keep the sanctity of it. How else can we get a whiteout game without actually it being a whiteout game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely still going to be a great atmosphere there despite the noon game. But yeah, I mean, last time Michigan won there was 2015. And I believe that was the last time that they played there that wasn't a night game. So.
Yeah, that is the last win that Michigan's had in Happy Valley, 28-16. Jake Rudock, 25 of 38 in that game, 256 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. So, I mean, you know, obviously quarterback play has been a little shaky the last couple of times. The whiteout night game in 2017, that was about as bad as it gets. Shea Patterson in 2019 didn't have a great first half. Penn State got that huge lead, almost came back. We remember the Ronnie Bell drop, you know, but that was a heck of a comeback for Michigan. Really kind of vaulted them that second half of that Penn State game forward for the rest of the year in what turned out to be a decent season following that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good comeback, and it fell a little bit short, but Michigan did just look like a different team after that.
Yeah, Michigan definitely got some help. Antoine Johnson here said, where's Sparty? Them fools can only troll for 1 week. Shaking my head. That's good news for Michigan at the end of the day. You know, it probably was going to come down to Michigan State needing to beat Ohio State anyway, but their margin of error is gone, and if Ohio State does take care of business against Michigan State and Michigan can run the table here, obviously it'll send Michigan to the Big Ten championship in Indianapolis. Won't have to worry about you know who's rated higher in the college football playoff after that. So that was, at the end of the day, you know, that was a big game for Michigan, and I know a lot of people, you know, want to talk about, oh, Michigan, you know, they're happy when Michigan State loses. At the end of the day, man, that was good for the Wolverines, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I definitely saw it. I thought that that Michigan State would lose two games down the stretch. And I was not surprised that Purdue was able to get it done. But I would be shocked if Michigan State is able to go into Columbus and even lose by single digits. I think Ohio State should handle them easily in that game. Michigan takes care of business the next 2 weeks, and the Big Ten East should come down to Michigan, Ohio State, and Ann Arbor on November 27th, and that would be a big one.
Yep, probably would be the biggest since 2018, obviously. But I'm trying to not remember that 2018 game as much as possible here. You
don't want to remember the 2016 game either.
Yeah, Fred, that's true. That's true. Man, I don't want to remember any of them. Taking a look back at this weekend, though, on Saturday, it was a weird feeling game, right? It was a night game, but in November against Indiana. I don't know. Did you just get the feeling watching that game that everything about it was just kind of off?
It was. Yeah, I did get that feeling. And it's like Michigan covered, you know, they took care of business. But then at the same time, you still have people upset about the way that they played. It was, everything just seemed a little bit weird about the game.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like Michigan got off to a decent start. Indiana was moving the football a little bit, though. But even like the big Michigan plays, like it felt like not everyone was really getting into it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely wasn't surprised. You know, the fans maybe a little bit quiet after just the tough loss against Michigan State the week before. You know how Michigan fans can be. But yeah, it was a weird game for sure. But all in all, Michigan came away with the win. Like I said, they covered the spread. I think that the red zone still could be a little bit better. And, you know, going to Happy Valley and Ohio State down the road, still a lot of things that need to be cleaned up in order to win those bigger games, you know?
Absolutely. Hassan Haskins was fantastic in this game. He's against awesome. Indiana, 168 yards on 27 carries. He was an absolute beast out there. Exactly what they needed. A little concerned about Blake Corum here, though, man.
Yeah.
Getting hurt in that first half and going out with that ankle injury.
Yeah, definitely some injuries in that game. And Harbaugh did not have any comments today when asked about the status of Corum, Eric Aull. McNamara was supposed to talk to the media today, but he ended up not being available. So he was also, they said he was a little dinged up in that game too. So yeah, definitely everybody getting healthy before next week would be huge.
Yeah, they absolutely need it. Yeah, we unfortunately from T. White here, he asked for any updates on Blake, and we do not have any. As Scotty just mentioned, no comment from Harbaugh here today. He's generally, I don't know, he's been a little less mum on injuries here this year, but it feels like he's keeping these ones pretty close to the chest.
Yeah, he it was pretty clear today that he didn't want to talk about that. But on Saturday night after the game, he didn't seem too concerned about it. But yeah, I guess we'll probably just have to wait and see until game day.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about Cade as well, man. He's been getting dinged up a little bit. He's been going out for some series and for some plays. I know he was in the med tent a little bit for a couple of maybe one series where JJ had to come in and take over the reins. The good news is JJ is, you know, very capable, obviously, but as the seasons progress, I don't know if you've had this, but starting to get more and more confidence in when Cade is out there as opposed to JJ at this stage of the season.
Yeah. I mean, really the Michigan State game just showed how good he can be. And obviously Michigan State doesn't have a good passing defense, but still a lot of good throws in that game. 383 yards against everybody is impressive. I personally have full confidence in Cade that he can lead Michigan down this final stretch of the season and get wins in all of these games.
Yeah, he looked good in a lot of these throws a little early on. He wasn't looking great, but he really started to get into it. Obviously, the deep post shot to Cornelius Johnson, that's one that I feel he's gotten better at, Scotty, is not overthrowing or underthrowing those. He kind of hit Cornelius in stride. We saw a lot of those against Michigan State. He's been much better on these, you know, any throw that's beyond 20 yards. It feels like he's gotten a lot better throughout the year on.
Yeah, those are huge too, because Michigan's receivers really all year have been able to create that kind of separation. And early on, McCarthy was hitting a couple of them. He had the two big ones, the Dalen Baldwin. But yeah, we're definitely seeing more of McNamara hitting those deep balls. And yeah, those kind of plays are, you know, momentum changers. They can win you the game. So definitely are going to need those down the stretch.
Yep. And Andrell Anthony, he's been, you know, a heck of a guy to come on. Hopefully he's okay. Moving forward, that's another question too, is we saw what happened with Ronnie Bell in week one against Western Michigan on the punt return, right? Andrell Anthony, probably not a great idea to take that kick out of the end zone to begin the second half, but this is there's a fine line that these coaches are having to manage with having your best skill guys on special teams versus, you know, not having as skilled guys, and then who knows what kind of mistakes could be made, man.
Exactly. I mean, you want to have your best players in those kind of positions to make plays, but those kind of things can happen, and it's always unfortunate when it does.
Yeah. when you look back on this Indiana game, man, like what are there a lot of takeaways to be had? Because I feel like I don't have a lot. I feel like I didn't have a lot. That's kind of just how I expected the game to go. Obviously, they took care of business against Indiana a little bit easier than they have throughout the last couple of years, even when Indiana was a little bit down. But I mean, hey, that was Michigan went out, did what they had to do. It wasn't flashy by any means. The defense stepped up when they needed to. Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo are just absolutely ridiculous on the edge. They played their fantastic games. You know, a couple iffy moments with linebackers, which I think is just, it is what it is at this point. You know, that's probably the, might be the biggest weak spot on the defense, because I thought Vincent Gray played phenomenally, shutting down Ty Freifogel to 0-0-0 across the board compared to what he did a year ago. The secondary's played a lot better. The linebackers are a bit of a negative right now for the Wolverines defense.
Yeah, yeah, that was like one takeaway that I noticed was not on the defense for Michigan, but the offense. I noticed Indiana seemed to get a little bit more pressure on the quarterback than we've seen. McCarthy had a couple. I think he got sacked maybe, I know at least once, I think twice. And Cade obviously took some shots. He had to go to the tent. So, yeah, they did a good job pressuring the quarterback, which we haven't seen much of this year. I think McNamara had only been sacked, I want to say, once or twice up to before this game. So I did notice that. But, yeah, it was just one of those games where, and I kind of expected this, you know, it's against Indiana. You know, they were 2-6 going into this game. It was obviously a game Michigan's supposed to take care of business in, and they did. And we'll learn a lot. We'll learn a lot against Penn State. I think that Penn State, they should be ranked. You think they'll be ranked in the CFP when that comes out tomorrow? I think that they probably will be.
I think they will. It might be just fluffer, kind of like for Minnesota, giving Ohio State a little bit better of a win, you know.
But yeah, I think that Penn State is a lot, I mean, currently they're unranked. I think they're a lot better than unranked team. Obviously, the Illinois game was bad, but they put up a fight in Columbus against Ohio State. And I think that if Clifford doesn't get injured against Iowa, I mean, they were up big in that game. It looked like they were going to run away with it. So when I think of Penn State, I really don't think of a 6-3 team. I think of more around like an 8-1 kind of team. And so I think they're a really good team. I think that they're probably, personally, I think that it's going to be harder competition than the Michigan State game. And I think that Michigan really did play well enough to win that Michigan State game. They just had some crucial mistakes at the end. Obviously some things didn't go their way. But yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a really tough game, and this is really when we'll learn a lot, and it's a must-win game, obviously, all of them are now.
Yeah, obviously the margin of error has been completely erased from that Michigan State game, but yeah, this is Happy Valley number one is a ridiculously tough place to play, but this Penn State team is pretty good. Don't let the Illinois game fool you. Like you said, played Ohio State, you know, really tough, ended up pulling away from Maryland in that matchup. I think what it's going to come down to, and we've got some people in the comments here, Micah Coffey and Antoine Johnson are kind of, you know, talking about it here, is that red zone offense. You know, Micah Coffey, he said, what could we do differently in the red zone to convert those opportunities to touchdowns? I hear lots of complaining about it, but no ideas on how to fix the problem. Number one, not my job to do that. I just observe that the red zone offense does need to be a little bit better. I do think, you know, what Antoine Johnson said here is that when Michigan scored that touchdown in the red zone off the bootleg, why doesn't Michigan run that more often? And they never go back to successful plays seemingly. Well, they did. So they ran that bootleg to the tight end, you know, Schoonmaker, and then they came back to him on a little Y stick in that third or fourth quarter in the second half there for his second touchdown. It looks like they're starting to get the tight ends a little more involved. And really, when you think back to it, you know, 2018 and prior, that is what Michigan has done well, is get the tight ends involved in the red zone, which I think they've kind of gone away from a little bit.
Yeah, I think that was a huge part of it. Getting those, I mean, Harbaugh said after the game, Schoonmaker was a big part of getting the red zone offense going. So, yeah, I think that getting the tight ends involved definitely helps. But for me, I've kind of noticed they seem to just, the play calling just needs to be more creative down there. They seem to kind of get conservative, try to run the ball, get themselves into 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and then they don't convert there and it ends up being a field goal. So I don't know. I feel like a lot of teams, obviously everybody knows Michigan wants to run the ball. And I feel like a lot of teams especially know that when they get into the red zone. So I would like to see Michigan just throw it more down there, and getting the tight ends involved, obviously, those two things kind of go together. But I think that the play calling just needs to get a little more creative down there.
And at the end of the day, man, I feel like the issue that Michigan is kind of having is a lot of their two goal situations kind of start at the 10 or just inside the 10, right? Like they're not getting chunk plays in the red zone to get inside the 5. All of a sudden you set up first and goal at the 4. Everything's a little bit different, you know?
Exactly.
So they need to, I think that has to be the focus. I think it's, you know, you got to play complementary football on that side of things is you don't want to just get that first down, you know, once you get into the red zone at the 8-yard line. Cause then you got first and goal from the 8, the field's condensed. You take, you know, you run it on first down, even if you get 3 yards. Now you got second and goal from the 5. You run it, they're ready for the run. You try to throw it, it's still condensed. I think once you, if you can start leaning on it and getting these goal to goal situations at the 5 or at the 4, that's when the touchdowns are going to come because the offensive line is very good. Obviously, Hassan Haskins is really hard to bring down, and I think they're going to see a lot more success. So I think they need to be, personally, I think they need to be more aggressive as soon as they get inside the 20 rather than just trying to get first downs and get to a goal-to-goal situation no matter what.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I if Michigan's got 3 chances and if they're going to go for it on fourth down, 4 chances to get 5 yards on the ground with Hassan Haskins, they're going to get it more than they would, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
First and goal inside the 5 is much different than the first and goal at the 10.
And that's going to be the key, I think, this week. I think red zone offense is going to be the key because Penn State, I don't care. That's a good defense, man. We saw it against Ohio State. I mean, even in the Illinois game, obviously, Illinois had 10 points in, you know, regulation. Like, this is a really good Penn State defense. Yeah. Michigan, they might even struggle to move the football, you know, a little bit on them. Not like Michigan State, where they were able to move it up and down the field, and then Michigan State's defense really tightened up in the red zone, obviously settling for a lot of field goals, kind of similar to Wisconsin. It's going to be tough to move the football on Penn State here this week. So when you do get in the red zone, capitalizing on those opportunities are going to be the difference between winning and losing.
100%. Yeah, it's a lot of the keys to the game are similar, you know, this big road environment similar to Michigan State. And that was the difference. We talked about that last week. The red zone offense for Michigan State, they were capitalizing. Michigan wasn't. And then also the mistakes, you know, late in the game. Michigan just can't afford to have those in this one. But, yeah, you hit it right on the nose there. I definitely don't think Michigan's going to be able to move the ball against Penn State's offense or defense like they did against Michigan State. So when they get down there into the red zone, they have to capitalize.
And, you know, Clifford is going to be playing in this one. We weren't sure, remember, you know, that Iowa game. We were kind of looking ahead. We were like, is Sean Clifford going to play? Obviously, he's going to be good to go wearing the knee brace. So he's not quite as mobile. But now it's, you know, Jahan Dotson. You know, that this is going to be the thing. Can they stop him? They did. For the most part, Michigan, obviously, Naylor got hurt in that Michigan State game. Reed had a couple of big plays, but I never thought he really busted the game open. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He had the huge catch on a perfect ball from Thorne on the fourth down, where if Dax Hill, you know, is able to make a play there, the game probably does go the other way. He just made that was just two guys that made incredible plays. Other than that, I never felt like he was really getting loose, you know, kind of like David Bell was last week against Michigan State or something like that. Never felt that way. Ty Freifogel doesn't even record a catch this week for Indiana, obviously playing with a true freshman quarterback and a third string guy coming into the year probably didn't help things, but Vincent Gray was much better. DJ Turner, I think his emergence has been phenomenal and a bit of a godsend for this Michigan secondary, but what do you think, man, from the secondary side of things? Are they going to be able to shut him down? Because he's a game breaker at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that I honestly think that they will. I think Michigan's going to be able to keep him in check. And I think that's going to be so big because I see this a lot when people talk about Michigan football and basketball, specifically basketball, but I think it goes to football as well, where when Michigan loses, it seems like somebody has to, like a big game, it seems like somebody has to have like a career game. For example, like Kenneth Walker, I mean, 5 touchdowns, 197 yards. That was the difference in the game. So yeah, I mean, Dotson's that guy for Penn State. Like, he's going to be the one to make sure that he doesn't have that career game that leads to a Penn State win over Michigan.
And I mean, and it's an interesting Penn State offense, right? Is because, like you mentioned, Kenneth Walker going crazy, the 5 touchdowns, you know, that was the change in the Michigan State game. No one really got loose for Indiana. And so the linebackers become kind of less of a concern in the run game and gap filling against Penn State. They average 106.4 yards a game. This is it's just not something that they do very well is running the football, but your linebackers are going to have to cover Nakai Hill. Green and Junior Colson are going to get a lot of run here. I'm interested to see what they do with Ross, because at times he looks like he gets lost a little bit in coverage. Indiana picked up a third down on that opening drive, I believe it was, where Ross just kind of moved when he shouldn't have. The tight end was right there, looked like his responsibility. And so I'm wondering if the more of the speed guys get some more run here this week, knowing that, you know, stopping the run probably isn't going to be a huge issue for this defense, but being able to manage this Penn State offense and not even giving them 5-6 yards a chunk is going to be the key to this Michigan defense stopping this Penn State offense.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they're not a good running team. And so I think this is definitely going to be the secondary's biggest test of the year. And I think that they are going to be up for the challenge. I mean, last year, obviously the secondary was a major weakness for the Michigan football team. But I think that the performance from Vincent Gray last week, and just comparing that to the performance against Indiana a year ago, really shows how much those players on the Michigan secondary have improved from last year.
Yeah. No question about it. What do you think? I mean, you look ahead here, I feel like Michigan has a lot of advantages, which is kind of worrisome to me. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like they do, but it shouldn't be. It's not going to be a cakewalk, obviously. There's no question about that. Penn State's going to come out. This is going to be an absolute battle. You know, Michigan's going to be fortunate if they're able to walk out of there with a victory. But where does Penn State really have the advantage? I'd say their defense probably against this Michigan offense might be the biggest one, and that's what I'm a little bit concerned about.
Yeah. No, my concern is 100%. I think it's going to be a fairly low-scoring game. My guess would be around like a 24-21 type game. That's kind of where I'm looking. I think that my biggest concern personally is the offense. Because like we talked about earlier, it's not going to be easy moving the ball up and down the field. And I think that there are going to be limited opportunities in the red zone to score touchdowns. So if they can fix that and find a way to punch it in each time then they get down there, I really like the chances to win. But if the red zone struggles continue, then I could see it being like Michigan State again, where we leave a lot of points on the field and could end up losing the game because of it.
Look, I think Jake Moody is a top three kicker in the country. I think he's been fantastic. And I love Jake. I love Jake Moody. But I really would like to see him mostly just kicking one-pointers on Saturday.
I agree. I was tweeting a lot about that during the game last week. Yeah, I mean, Evan Moody is awesome. I think Michigan does not have the record they have right now without Jake Moody. He was huge in the Nebraska game. I would also like to see him kick a little less field goals. I'd like to see him out there for the extra points. He looks better kicking extra points.
Yeah, no question about it. The one thing that I'm also real quick before we take a quick shift to basketball with them kicking off their season here this year is that Michigan this year, and I would have to go back and look, but if off the top of my head, in non-garbage time opportunities, it feels like this Michigan offense, when the Michigan's defense is scored on, the Michigan offense, I feel like there's maybe three times they didn't answer with a score of their own. I think it happened twice in the Nebraska game and once, obviously, late in the Michigan State game when Michigan State took the 37-33 lead. Other than that, I feel pretty confident, maybe twice in the Michigan State game when Michigan State was able to come back and tie it up. So maybe four times this year. I think twice in the Nebraska game, twice in the Michigan State game in non-garbage time opportunities. And if anyone in the chat can point me at another one, I'm not talking like late against Western Michigan or Northern Illinois or anything like that. When the Michigan offense didn't come back and at least put some points on the board after being scored on, I think that's been a huge difference in this team here this year.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be, that's definitely going to be big. And yeah, I mean, the two times against Michigan State, you know, those are times that, you know, you do get a touchdown on one of those drives and they do win the game. So that'll obviously be crucial in the game as well.
Yeah. I mean, so, and that's why I'm like, usually I'm thinking about going into this Penn State game and like, man, against this Penn State defense, if they get down early in this game, if, you know, God forbid they get down by like 10 at some point, you know, are they going to be able to come back? I feel like I have confidence in this team to be able to bounce back and come back in a lot of situations, which I probably wouldn't have been in years prior.
Yeah. And that's going to be big too. Like, I do have the confidence that they can come back from that, but you look at the past two times Michigan's gone to Happy Valley. I mean, 2017, I believe it was the first play of the game, Saquon Barkley goes for like a 75-yard touchdown. And just like that, Michigan's down on the road, tough environment. Same thing happened in 2019. And even in 2019, they were able to get back into a position to win the game. But I'm definitely hoping for a stronger start this year than the past two times they've gone to Happy Valley, because getting in those holes like that is not fun.
Well, the good news is I don't think Mike McDonald will have Josh Rosa, Jahan Dotson, or anything like that. Like Mike McCray was on KJ Hamler, you know? Yeah.
Yes, that is true. That was so, interesting to see for sure.
Yeah, I think they have a little bit better of a grip on that. So all eyes on Penn State Saturday, Michigan. Yep. They don't technically control their own destiny quite yet, but we do know a loss would knock them out of Big Ten East contention. So, I mean, this is what you play for, you know. I mean, you look back at the beginning of the year, no one thought this team would be 8-1 at this point going into Happy Valley. So enjoy the ride. And you know what? I'm somewhat confident in Saturday's game, which has me excited and also very anxious.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a nerve-wracking one, just like a couple weeks ago in East Lansing.
Yep, absolutely.
That's the fun of it.
This is what it's all about, right? At the beginning of the year, and if you'd have gave any Michigan fan this scenario other than, you know, the Michigan State loss, just say they had one loss, people would have assumed it came at Wisconsin anyway. But, you know, this is, I mean, it's been an incredible ride so far, and I hope that they keep it going. But to be playing meaningful games in November is exactly what you look for each and every college football season.
Exactly. These are the games as a fan, I personally get most excited for. So I can't wait for Saturday.
They're going to switch gears real quick to basketball, kicking off their run at a potential national championship here this year. I mean, you got to think big if you're the Wolverines, coming off the Elite Eight appearance last year. Got a lot of returning talent, the number one or number two recruiting class, depending on, you know, how you view Memphis's recruiting class, getting Amone Bates, you know, kind of last minute there. But this is going to be a heck of a Michigan team. Came out and they ran, you know, Wayne State off the floor. Obviously, that's, you know, not a huge thing or anything like that, but they look good, and the freshmen look good in that game. They kick off their season with Buffalo Wednesday night at 6:30. I gotta tell you, Scotty, I am so excited for this team, man. I was super excited for the 2013 team because I love Trey Burke and I knew they had some good guys coming in. It turned out to be a fantastic season. I think I'm even a little more excited about this team than I was at 2013 squad.
Oh yeah, I don't think I've ever been excited for a season of Michigan basketball like this before. I mean, last year, still, there's a sour taste in my mouth. I mean, you got to wonder what would have happened if Michigan had Livers in the NCAA tournament. I mean, even without him so close to getting to the Final Four, Michigan just I love Juwan Howard, too. What a great hire for Michigan. He's doing an amazing job. Just so much talent on the team. Expectations are high. I'm extremely excited. I love basketball season two because I love college football. Hockey is great too. Another team that really has a chance at a national title. I love the college basketball season just because you got games every single day starting tomorrow all the way until April. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, T. White here on the Mesa Brew live chat says Final Four for basketball and hockey, which, hell yeah. But also, hey, we just talked about it. You know, Michigan still got a shot at that Final Four. Why not make it 3-for-3, you know?
Oh, yeah. Football, too. You never know.
Yep.
They still got everything to play for still.
Yeah, no question about it. And this basketball team, the question is going to be now, this year is managing expectations, right? It's like last year they really started to come on. They were ranked outside of the top 25 preseason. Yeah. And, you know, they started really just absolutely crushing teams. You know, I think back to the Wisconsin game and what they were able to do. That really started turning some heads, and they were blowing out everyone for a long while en route to a Big Ten championship. But again, the expectations were a lot less last year. This year, expected to compete for a Big Ten championship, expected to make a Final Four appearance with the guys that they have, and going to be leaning on a lot of true freshmen, Caleb Houston, Musa Diabate, you know, maybe some Frankie Collins in there, who knows, but some freshmen are going to have to step up and make big impact plays to go along with these expectations. A little bit different here this year, and I'm intrigued to see how they handle it.
Yeah, it is interesting because, you know, back when Beilein was the coach, and even like Michigan, with the years they went to the national title, I know after the 2018 season, I believe they were ranked like 25 to start. I mean, you never saw these like preseason expectations for Michigan, even after they would have really good years. But now those expectations, I think Michigan has the second best odds to win the national title and second best odds to win the Big Ten, just behind Purdue. But yeah, I think that a huge piece is going to be Devontae Jones. Yes. You know, he's got some experience, and I love Mike Smith. I thought he was great. But I do think that Devontae Jones might be a little bit of an upgrade at the point guard position. And I think that he's going to have a really big year.
Devontae Jones is a menace on the perimeter defensively. Yeah. Like, he is going to cause a lot of problems. And at the end of the day, what's the number one thing pretty much for every team that makes a Final Four? It's strong guard play.
Exactly.
You know, obviously, Baylor's guard play was just unreal last year, entering to a national championship. Obviously, Gonzaga with incredible guard play, even UCLA with some great guard play down the stretch. You know, it wasn't really there all year, but that is the thing that's going to get you over the top in the NCAA tournament. And as long as they stay healthy, I think Michigan's going to have quite a bit of that.
Yeah, definitely. I think defense is huge too. And I think that gets overlooked a lot in basketball. You know, people last year were given, they're being tough on Franz Wagner when he would have tough offensive games. But I think that people sometimes overlook the defense, especially with Franz. He was such a good defender, and I don't think a lot of people would notice that when he wouldn't put up like 15 to 20 points a game, you know.
Antoine Johnson says, who's the 6'10 big guy? That's a beautiful thing about this recruiting class. Michigan's got two of them. Musa Diabate and Caleb Houston are both 6'10, man, to go along with 7'100 Dickens. That's going to be a problem. They decide to go big because Caleb Houston can shoot the lights out. And if he's able to stretch the floor and you can put another 6'10 and 7'1 guy in there, man, good
luck.
That's
a big lineup. Yeah, that's a big lineup.
You're going to be getting a lot of rebounds, and you're going to be taking a lot of outside shots. Not going to take it down in the land of the trees, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Michigan really, like I said, they've got all the pieces there for a deep run this year.
We got a comment. Caleb is 6'10", question mark. That's what he was listed on is a 247. I don't know if I believe. Let's check the Michigan roster. Maybe he shrank a little bit. You know, you never know with those high school heights. At the end of the day, you know, they get a little more leeway with those. I'm wondering what the official Michigan basketball roster looks like here. I'm going to see if Caleb is 6'10". That's what he was listed at. So I'm excited to see. Let's see. Loading right now. Michigan basketball roster. Let's see. Musa is actually listed as 6'11". Oh, they listed Caleb as 6'8" now. Okay. So he lost a couple inches. Caleb did. That's still not bad though. 6'8", you know.
Yeah, that's still he's still very tall.
Yeah,
still very large lineup they've got.
Musa gained an inch. Caleb lost a couple, but that's still a pretty big lineup they're going to be trotting out there. That's the thing too, is the depth of this team is just it's stupid. Yeah, they can go 9-10 deep, and you're not feeling bad about it at all. Especially with the way Brandon Johns came on last year, right?
Exactly,
you know, playing that four. I think he's more of a natural four. I know he's a little undersized. I don't think he plays the three as well, obviously. I still don't think he has a lot of confidence in his shot, you know. But as a four, he battles down low. It's awesome to see. And I don't know, the depth on this team, what he can provide. Obviously, Terrence Williams, he's a big guy too, you know, a little undersized, but that battles. But he can play on the perimeter a little bit more. The depth on this team, guard play. I mean, think of all the guards by the end of the year. If Frankie Collins and maybe like Kobe Bufkin can get a little more experience and get a little more comfortable when you've got Devontae Jones, Eli Brooks, obviously, Zeb Jackson. I thought he played well at times last year. And then those true freshmen. I mean, this team could legitimately go 10 or 11 probably, and you're still feeling good.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, they got Coach Howard there in the offseason coaching them up. Like, I fully expect I think Zeb Jackson's going to be good this year. And one thing that I love about Terrence Williams and Brandon Johns, those dudes are tough. I mean, they would make some gritty plays last year. Yeah, and Brandon Johns still, too. I was watching the highlights from the Wayne State game. He is still improving that deep shot, too. He can occasionally knock it down. I've heard Hunter Dickinson worked a lot in the deep shot over the offseason as well, so I'm curious to see if he takes any of those on Wednesday. But I think Brooks, he went 4 for 4 from three in the Wayne State exhibition. I think he's definitely going to be a lights-out shooter this year, and I cannot wait to see it.
Yep, I think the depth is going to be by far their biggest strength, which is kind of crazy to think about, considering all the strengths that this team has. And if the outside shooting is going, it will be an unstoppable offense if the threes are falling, because they're going to get open looks all year. That's just Hunter Dickinson's an incredible passer out of the double team. I don't even know if they're going to be able to double team him a lot this year when you've got Brooks and Caleb Houston on the floor together. Zeb can knock it down, as we mentioned. I mean, I don't know how you stop them. I think this feels like a team, Scotty, that if they lose, it's because they beat themselves.
Yeah, no, I agree.
At the end of the day, until they go up against one of the top tier teams, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, that was, I mean, when Michigan was in that stretch at the beginning of the year, especially when they were just beating everybody by 20 points and Wisconsin by 40, you know, it was, yeah, I mean, you double team Hunter and then there's somebody open for three, everybody else can shoot. And Michigan at that point was just it seemed like they just would not miss from back there too. I mean, when those threes are falling, it's like you said, unstoppable offense.
You know, Vinny says, do you think Musa can start even if his 3-point shooting isn't that great? And obviously that's going to be the point of contention with Musa. But so it all depends how Michigan wants to play, right? Like, obviously they like to run their big guys out on the perimeter as kind of facilitators when you run that motion offense that they do. These are guys that are handing off and then rolling to the rim. So I don't think it's really a problem, you know, unless Juwan wants to keep a 41 look, a 4-out-1-in look, then it might be a bit of an issue. But at the end of the day, you don't have to do that. Like, that's the thing about Juwan that I love, is he's going to tailor everything towards the personnel he has. He's not going to be like, I've got these guys and you're going to learn my system and we're going to do this. Right. It's my way or the highway sort of thing. You know what I'm saying? He's going to tailor to his team's strengths. So you're going to see a lot of perimeter play when it's Houston out there with Hunter Dickinson. It's going to be a lot of 41 looks. And obviously Hunter comes out on the perimeter and is a facilitator there as well. But I mean, you could run a traditional look with Musa, you know, out there, three guards, two down, and, you know, running a lot of flex screens, pin downs, things like that. I mean, no matter who's out there, I think Juwan's going to have a plethora of options to be able to run an extremely efficient offense.
Yeah, no, I agree. And with Musa starting, I think we're going to could see something similar to how Dickinson developed last year, kind of at the beginning of the season. He was coming off the bench. Davis was still starting. But I just think Musa's just going to continuously just get a lot better as the season goes on. And I'd be surprised if he was starting this early in the season, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if we get a month or two into the season and he's in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see who the starting five is going to be. But at the end of the day, who's starting against Buffalo isn't indicative of anything. Exactly. Like Scotty just said, Austin Davis was starting ahead of Hunter Dickinson. I love Austin Davis, but as we saw, the better player at the end of the day was Hunter Dickinson. And if we can get anything from these guys in an Austin Davis sort of role when he came in, played hard, and would get you a couple of buckets because his footwork was unreal, like, give me all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would love to have another Austin Davis on the team, man. He was awesome.
He was tremendous, man. High motor guy and really highly skilled. He just, at the end of the day, you know, his athleticism a little bit at times let him down. But he used his fouls, he got rebounds, and he made a few buckets, man. What more can you ask for a guy you're getting 10 to 12 minutes off the bench from?
Yeah, no, he was awesome.
So we'll see what happens Wednesday against Buffalo. I'm excited for this season, man. I can't wait to get it rolling. It's a great time to be a Michigan Wolverine fan. As we mentioned, football going to Happy Valley on Saturday. The Big Ten East still very much alive for them. basketball, obviously, you know, the number six team in the country. And then you got the hockey team, the number two team in the country right now. So things are looking good to be a Michigan sports fan here this year.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I believe hockey is going to be in Happy Valley this weekend as well. So, yeah, it's a good week. A lot of good Michigan sporting events going on this week.
No question, man. I'm excited to get it rolling. Scotty, where can we find you on social media, friend?
You guys can find me on Twitter. Give me a follow, ScottyWhite_. That is about all the places that I talk about Michigan sports. And I will definitely be tweeting a lot during the basketball game Wednesday and the football game on Saturday.
Absolutely. And don't forget to follow the Mason Brew page, follow the Brewcast Show page as well on Twitter at Brewcast Show. Mason Brew is just Mason Brew. You can find me at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. Big thanks to everyone hanging out in the YouTube live comments, watching live with us as we do every Monday night at 7:30. You guys are the best. Appreciate all the comments and allowing us, you know, to be a part of the conversation with you guys. We do really appreciate it. If you could drop a like on the YouTube video, we'd appreciate it. Subscribe to the YouTube page as well. Click that bell so you know when we're going to be going live. For those of you listening on the podcast, really appreciate it. If you want to join us live, you know, we do it every Monday night at 7:30. If not, hey, keep listening to the podcast. We love that as well. Just subscribe, rate, and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. A lot going on this week. You want to subscribe? We got a lot of great shows on the Mason Brew feed. So for my partner, Scotty White, I'm Luke Ghiardi, and we'll see you next week on Brewcast.